Hey, it's Aiden Mortensen here with another Castle Country Focus interview. Today over the phone, we are joined by Representative Christine Watkins for this week's legislative update. Representative Watkins, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you again for taking the time to come talk to us.
Oh, anytime.
So it was a busy week up at the Capitol. I mean, from just legislation to celebrations, you guys were going full force ahead. And one thing that stood out to me a few days ago was you guys celebrated Susan B. Anthony Day. So that's kind of where I want to start today is, what's it like being a woman representative up on Utah's Capitol Hill?
Well, for me, it's been a very unique experience because when I first went up on the Hill, there weren't very many women in the legislature. And, I mean, literally, when I went back in 2017, there were like six or seven Republican. Now that we've always had a few more on the Democrat side, but we'd only had six or seven on the Republican. And we still, even combined, didn't even reach 20% of the membership in the legislature. And over the last couple of years, we have made significant gains, and we're now at about 25% of women in the legislature. And I will tell you, we bring out bills that sometimes the men won't think about. There's bills that women will go to women and say, you know, we have a problem with this. We're still fighting for child care and some of those issues, and we all, of course, all the others that everybody else wants. But it's a big responsibility, and we stand on the shoulders of those who came before us.
You know, it's incredible looking at the history of Utah. It was one of the first states to really embrace the role of women in government. So it's cool to see you be a part of that history. Now, let's move on to the legislation side of things. Another busy week up on the Hill as it is. We're about halfway through the session now. And I think a good starting point would be HB 181 for us. That's the school week schedule amendments. And we were talking about that. You have some pretty exciting updates with that one.
Yes, and that came about from some constituents in another county, and they felt like their voices were not heard in the process of the district taking a couple of their schools and going to a four-day school week. So we put together a bill with some things that we wanted the state school board to do when a school comes or a district comes and says we want a four-day school week. So it passed the House. I think it only had one vote against it, and everybody else passed it, and now that was in committee. So it's on the board for the third reading for the House. But Thursday, I met with five wonderful women from the State Office of Education who, most of them were attorneys, and they work with the process of the four-day school week. And they let me know that in their rule, they had about 75% of what I had put into the bill, but they loved the other parts that I put into the bill. So we had a great discussion, and they agreed to put the requirements that I wanted and my other constituents into their own rule. So I'm not, you know, we have a saying up on the Hill, the best bill / law is the one that you don't have to do. So this bill will be on the third reading. When it comes up, I'll circle it, and it will stay there. And so I'm really excited that we were able to accomplish our goals and that we don't have to make a new law.
And then another kind of education-based bill is HB 91, or the Technical College Amendments. Let's talk about that for a second.
Well, in law, it says that a technical college can't do anything about planning for a new building. They can't draw up what they want it to look like. They can't do anything without first coming to the legislature. And the all of the technical colleges were like, we need to at least be able to plan and know what we're looking at and how much is it going to cost before we come to the legislature. So that's passed through the House and the Senate, and it's technically sitting on the governor's desk waiting for his signature. Now, originally in that bill was a whole section on funding because the northern technical schools, most of their students are people who have graduated from high school and are moving on with their education. In our more rural areas, we have a lot of concurrent students, that is the kids that are in high school. So the urban ones were getting full funding for their students, and we're not getting funding, our technical schools, for these concurrent students. And so it's causing a real financial strain, and of course it's just really not fair. And so we took that part of my bill and put it in with Representative Karen Peterson's higher education bill. And that's the one that's going to look at everything in higher education. So I'm sure that one will pass, and hopefully we can get some things be more equitable for our rural technical schools.
It's still continuing on the education trend, but a bit of a darker note. The union-busting bill got signed into law last Friday.
Yeah, it did. I was hoping the governor maybe wouldn't sign it and allow some more negotiations, but he did. So I'm just like the rest of you. I watch on TV, and I think they're talking about getting the signatures and doing an initiative, but they have to do a lot of signatures, well over 100,000 in about a month. So we'll see if they can do it, if they decide to do it. And I know there were some things said up on the Hill about unions, and I'm telling you they're not true. So I voted against it all the way through. I'm sorry that it was passed, and we'll just have to see what happens.
It always is interesting to see how some of these bills continue, the roadblocks they run into, and despite the controversial nature, able to break through. And with the signature gathering, I feel if they are to launch a referendum effort, I feel pretty confident about it, because you were there firsthand. You saw them kind of show up to the Capitol every day. They were there in full force almost the whole time this bill was on the floor.
Yes, they were united, because it was not only just teachers. We're talking firefighters. We're talking all the unions that we have here in Utah, and they just would have to band together and get out in their communities and get those signatures.
And then the last thing I want to touch on with you today is, last week in your newsletter, you mentioned a few other education funding bills that would have negatively impacted rural areas. So let's talk about those for a second. Are you seeing any development on those, or have they kind of started to stand still?
Well, most of them have started on the Senate side, and they haven't reached our committees or on our board, so I really don't know exactly where they are. Now, we do have one that started in the House side by Representative Peterson, not Karen. His name has just left me. He's in leadership. And because we didn't get a chance to vote on the initiative A last time we voted. That was the one that would have taken the sales tax off food if we could have changed where property tax would have gone to for education. So what they've done, and it's kind of like a shell game, if this bill passes, it will take money, all the property tax money, take it up to the state, put it in the general fund, and then give the same amount of money back to the school districts from the education fund. They won't lose interest. They won't lose any money. It will be as though it didn't happen. And this will allow a little bit more of a freedom in how other money is spent up in the state. So I had a lot of school people calling, and they were panicking. So I really checked into it, and they'll be basically held harmless.
And that's always good to hear. Now, Representative Watkins, unfortunately, we are running out of time. Is there anything you'd like to leave the listeners with?
Well, I want you to know we had our Rural Eastern Leadership Academy people come up this week, and it was so much fun to see people from home and have dinner with them one night and take them on a little bit of tour of the Capitol. So we have great people in our community, and I just appreciate them taking the time to come up.
Well, Representative Watkins, we appreciate you for taking the time to always come talk to us and give us an update of what's happening up on Capitol Hill. So thank you for that again. Again, that was Representative Christine Watkins. We were talking about this week's legislative update. And for more Castle Country Focus interviews like this one, you can stay tuned to KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, or you can listen on the Castle Country Radio app. And for the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Aiden Mortensen.